Welcome to Holistic Matters, the podcast that's designed to help you become the you that nature intended. Broadcasting live from the Florida Chiropractic Association's national meeting in Orlando, Florida. It's the world's largest chiropractic conference and has over 2,500 practitioners attending. So it's a great place, as we've been saying, to meet key influencers, thought leaders, practitioners, technology advance and innovation people. And with us today is Dr. Annette Schippel, joining us in the middle of, I think, three presentations that she's giving during the course of these 3 days. So how are you doing? You've given one already to a standing room only crowd.
I know. It was great.
Right.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah. So I'm doing a 3-part series. And so it's definitely a focus on women's health, but it really, you know, as you know, anything that has to do with the body, it really applies to everyone. So kicked it off yesterday with the first part, which was all about digestion, kind of like build a foundation. And then today I get to talk about stress. And it's kind of cool because we can look at the impact that it has, you know, tying it back to digestion, the talk the previous day, but also really how it affects all of our hormones, you know, and just so many different things that I think it kind of gets, I don't want to say overlooked, but it's sort of like, yeah, I have stress. Everybody has stress, jaded, and like, so let me just and move on. And yet you really do have to deal with it. And then finally, tomorrow, to tie it all in, I'm going to talk about really good detoxification, you know, because that's so important for balancing, you know, the whole body.
So you have your own clinic that you call the Endocrine Wellness Clinic in Springfield, Illinois. And so usually I think when most people will hear endocrine, the first thing they go to is like women's health.
Yes.
But we know that's really a very limited view, right? Men, it's a men's and women's issue.
Absolutely.
But tell us a little bit about your practice in Springfield and like what are you seeing and some of the key issues.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because every once in a while someone will go, well, do you take care of men too? Kind of go, well, yeah, if they let me. But but yeah, so it's really, I mean, I'd like to make it really more of a family practice in a sense, because I always feel like even if I'm helping mom or grandma or whoever, then, you know, you actually are helping the whole family. But about a year and a half ago, I sold my chiropractic practice so that I could actually spend more time focusing on what I call functional nutrition, like really looking at that whole person, that holistic health. So it's still predominantly women, but I think that what we all find, even in the field of chiropractic, is that women are kind of the gatekeepers to health, but they're also the first ones to really reach out for help. And, you know, so while it is a lot of women, I still have a lot of children in my practice. I have a lot of seniors in my practice. And then there's a few men that sort of come kicking and dragging, you know, behind their wives. But no, I mean, a lot of it, you know, and initially it's kind of like you think hormones, right? Endocrine is hormones. But the reality is, and it kind of is tying into this weekend, is that if you don't have good digestion, if you don't have proper elimination, if you don't manage your stressors, and if you're not pulling in that whole lifestyle, you just won't get what you deserve, you know, the vitality that you want and you should have.
Tell us a little bit about the dynamic of, you know, women in the household, in particular as the family gatekeeper that you mentioned for health. You know, today's female head of the household is responsible for her family's health. And the first thing they usually forget about is their own, because they're managing their parents, they're managing their husbands and their kids. Finally, if she has time, she'll consider her own health. And it's only usually after she realizes, I'm feeling much better now, and the husband notices that they come kicking and screaming into the clinic. But do you see a lot of that? And how do we make that a little bit easier so it's less of a second afterthought to health than a primary?
Yeah, I know. It's like one of those things is one of, I mean, I'm still happy when someone finds me, however they find me. But the most frustrating comment is, I wish I had known you 10 years ago. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I was here kind of thing. But you know, I think that what we have to do, a lot of what I think about is just empowerment. You know, we do that through education. We empower women to, you know, feel, one, that they're not alone, to feel like they're, and also that they're not crazy. Because a lot of times things are just covered up with a lot of duct tape, right? Like a lot of really fancy duct tape. And they start to think that maybe this is their new normal, and maybe that's what they're supposed to have. But there's a part of them that goes, no, this isn't quite right.
Yeah.
So when they reach out to someone like me, you know, I think some of the challenges is not just, okay, here's a diet plan, here's, you know, supplements and all this stuff. It's like, you've got to put yourself on the list.
Right.
You're not even on the list of things to take care of. And to make them understand that when they have good energy, when they feel good, they are a better partner, they are a better mother, they're a better worker. Everything around them gets better. And it's, you know, kind of talking about the men. I have actually had some men who will make a point to come by to pick up the supplement for their wife, just so she doesn't run out. But on that, though, I think when you sort of empower and you give them ways to do things just a little bit easier, a little bit better, then it does transcend into a whole family health and kind of opening up their eyes. You know, even if their husband or partner doesn't come in, I always feel like the greatest compliment, bring your child to me.
Yeah.
And we work with the whole family on a lifestyle.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Fantastic. You know, one of the trends of this conference and in natural healthcare in general is the concept of total patient care and balance.
Yes.
And kind of combining a couple of really important thoughts of vitalism to kind of evidence base.
Right.
And it's becoming obvious, right? It's not either or, it's really both as a continuum of health status and health care. So if you can balance the foundation of health so the body can be more receptive to additional therapeutic care. But you've been a proponent of that. That's nothing new to you. But tell us about some of the insights and experience. And do the light bulbs go off in patient education when you talk about that balance of total and holistic care?
You know, I think one of the things that has happened to me through the years of doing this, and it's actually been probably one of the most profound, going back to like an aha moment, is, you know, as chiropractors, I know we've talked about this before, just you and I, it is the subluxation complex, right? So we call it the three T's. So we call it, you know, it's thoughts, how you think, traumas, which is a physical part, and that can be over-exercising, not exercising enough, could be a physical injury. But then there's also toxins. So toxins I think about could be our diet, right? Or it could be not eliminating toxins. It could be pharmaceuticals. It could be all these different things. But what we learn is that if any one of those three things are off, then the vitalism, the vitality of that patient, of that person, will be less than it could be. And chronic problems will only get bigger because the body will be trying to get your attention. And so as I have done some of these symposiums and things like that, it actually really brought me back to my roots. And it made the most perfect sense to include nutrition and really from a holistic foundational point of view into practice. And to not do it is actually doing a disservice to our patients.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, maybe we're not all that part of the puzzle,
right?
But I think it is our responsibility as a practitioner to find someone to take on that other role. So I do believe that, you know, when we are stuck, you know, reach out to a colleague, or maybe there's a colleague that is, you know, really good in a certain area. Right. Help our patients to get the best holistic care
right.
that they possibly can.
Yeah. So as part of holistic care and that kind of concept and approach, there's kind of what can be referred to as a therapeutic order, or as you assess a patient, you know, you kind of click off a series of issues and points. And
right.
and it's kind of nice of your series of talks here, kind of cool, because you start with the gut.
Right.
Then you talk about influencers on gut health that could lead to other problems like
right.
stress.
Yes.
And then finally, the third lecture that you're giving is, well, how do you fix that? And probably a detox problem.
Right.
But is that the therapeutic order that you would routinely and most typically go through in that order? Or?
I think that the challenge and one of the things I speak about a lot is it's not enough to look at what someone has. Their symptoms are what they have.
Right.
We have to look at why they are where they are, why they have it. Because when you go to discover the why, that's actually where you get your starting point.
Yeah, right.
So for instance, you know, we talk about gut issues. So she might have been constipated most of her life, or wasn't, and then in college developed symptoms of constipation and diarrhea, right? And then it progressed into having more food allergies and on and go. And she comes to me and says, well, I'm really tired. Yeah. I've gained weight.
Yeah.
My face is breaking out or whatever. And it's like, so this is what she has.
Right.
but I have to look at why she has it. And so
that's like the root cause, the underlying
problem.
Cause.
And right? For some people, you'll find that the trigger was a major stressor that started the whole thing.
Right.
So what it can do is it can do just a bit of a hijack, right to the
right.
HP axis.
Right.
So the gut issues could be secondary. So it is, so I don't really have a set, everybody does this, then this, then this, but I do try to prioritize by looking at the whole person.
Right. But the common, sounds like the common issue is to try to find that underlying cause.
Yes, absolutely.
That kind of cascaded into all the problems that they're describing.
I really do believe that why will be the most important question we will ever ask and strive to answer.
That's great insight, right?
Right. And it's not easy. So, sometimes it's like buried under there.
Right.
You can definitely go for it.
So how many times have you been to FCA? I mean,
so
can
this
you even
is,
count them? Or?
I know, right. So actually, this is my fourth year here speaking.
Fourth year, yeah.
And I've done many other of the FCA's regional ones as well. I think the very first year I was asked to come, I had a prior engagement. I was like, dang it, I can't go. And it is by far my favorite.
Yeah.
It's I shouldn't say that because of the people from other symposiums listening to me. But
right.
You know what?
One of your favorites.
It is definitely one of my favorites. They do such a great job. It is always such an honor to be here. And also, not only just to speak about what I love, the opportunity to get on, you know, be part of a panel, which is another way to, you know, reach these practitioners. From my perspective, because it's my profession that I love so much, I want us to be better and want us to do more.
So what do you think about that, being better? Is there a couple of insights or suggestions you'd share with your colleagues on what does it mean to be better and what should we all do to do a better job? Is just educate, be lifelong learners?
Okay, so yes, right? like learning should never end. The desire to find the solution for our patients, I believe, should never end. And I really think being better means we have to own who we are as a profession. Really and truly, we are unique, and I still think we should be the first, kind of the gatekeeper for health, and that all the other professions in the world of allopathic medicine would then come next.
Right.
But to do that, we have to go back to our roots. And I know I already said this, but the roots of who we are, looking at the three T's, we got to go beyond the spinal adjustment.
Yeah.
That's beautiful and it's amazing and the body will always work better with it. But if you have this other part of the triangle that is off, you're not addressing the gaps in their nutrition or maybe the nutritional gaps in their body due to a lifelong of deficits or, you know, impaired detox pathways, hormonal imbalances, maybe just even helping someone change that thought process just a little bit or guide them to someone, kind of, again, going back to the thoughts, the stress and so forth, maybe finding a way to get them to where they need to be. But to do that, it takes time.
Right. It takes
time. And I think that sometimes we get overwhelmed. Well, I don't have time. I've only got a few minutes. Well, if you don't take the time, who will?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you describe that as being uniquely chiropractic. But, you know, what's interesting is if you look at trends in healthcare, that's what consumer patients want.
Right.
And that's such a powerful advantage that chiropractic has and can be extended with some of the things that you're talking about, is like those lifestyle foundational health issues. A lot of it includes nutrition.
Right.
But that uniqueness is more and more a common objective and desire by patients that's an advantage for chiropractic.
Yeah, and it's not, and I don't want to say that we're the only profession like that, but we are at the FCA.
So it
is kind of a little bit high on my radar. But you're right, and this is the interesting thing, because we do have, I would look at my colleagues that are acupuncturists, you know, the naturopaths that are definitely more like-minded. They might use a different way to get there, right? If you're an acupuncturist or a naturopath. But it is insanely this billion-dollar industry where patients are looking for self-help. They're on Dr. Google, Nurse Facebook.
Right.
And some of them, they'll come in and they have been researching, but they don't know how to make sense of the mess.
Yeah.
And I think that what's so great about what we do is that we are a physician, so we can look at the body in a very unique way.
Right.
And again, it's not just what you have, it's being able to discover why you have it
to
then offer the best solution for them.
Any key insights that you're seeing across your patient population that you always look for that may not be obvious, especially to a new practitioner?
I think one of the things, I guess, maybe that I do better now than I did in the beginning is looking deeper into their history, looking for either there's a pattern, maybe it could be like a pattern of illness, right. Looking for a significant trigger, could have been, you know, a really serious viral infection, and from that point on, life was never the same.
Right, right.
So do you think that, you know, digging in a little bit deeper, taking time to hear their story,
right,
about who they are and how they got there, I think that's what we need to do to right. get better at
right.
it, yeah.
Is there one nutrition regimen or solution that you find yourself going more and more back to as you address these foundational issues? I mean, are there certain unmet nutrient needs that a large number of patients have?
What it seems to show up more and more when I'm looking at, I'll look at like blood chemistry and I'll look at saliva testing and other ways to assess minerals. It's like the accumulation of a bunch of little gaps. I always think of like the straw that broke the camel's back. It was the final one. I will still go to more than anything else, especially when I do the work with hormones. One of my favorites is honestly a really good detoxification.
Yeah.
Because there's such a connection between the liver and the digestive tract that when you clean that up,
right,
and in that process of cleaning that up, you usually resolve a lot of digestive issues.
Yeah. Right.
To me, that kind of gives you such a better foundation from which to build on that you're able to be more specific in helping the person get their true vitality back. So I would say that that's probably my number one. And then, you know, really, then the digestion really does tie into that.
Right. Yeah, fantastic. So you have a practice in the Midwest in Springfield, Illinois.
Yes.
And by the way, you know, we share a Midwest experience. So we both grew up in the Midwest in that same area, West Central Illinois. So what a great place. But are you seeing any unique trends in health of the Midwesterner? Versus what people are talking about on the East Coast or West Coast, where it's everybody's inflamed and they've got poor diets no matter where
oh
they
my
live.
Gosh, we're like 10 years behind, I think, sometimes. You know, I think the funniest thing for me has been to convince a lot of my patients that corn is not a vegetable. It is a grain,
right.
People.
I thought it was a sugar substitute.
right? I think everywhere people are starting to come on board. I do feel like there's been a little bit more resistance in the Midwest to embrace organic, the idea of, you know, a whole food concept. Unfortunately, we are heavily bombarded with like fast food.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's a lot of, well, it's convenient. Well, it was cheap. I'm like, well, what's your health worth to you?
Yeah.
So to me, that's actually a challenge. I think when you go to like the West Coast, people, their mindset is a little more wrapped around whole food, organic, and, you know, cooking at home and so forth. And I think that's where we have to work a little harder on that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Our colleagues at the Nutrition Innovation Center did a recent analysis on the phytonutrient profile of fruits and vegetables, and then what the cost is versus, say, the cost of, you know, kind of fast food at Starbucks. And it's actually much less expensive than it is buying, you know, your average cup of coffee from places like Starbucks or other coffee places, right? So it's actually very affordable,
right,
and the benefit to health far outweighs the bad habits.
I think it's more, they're hung up on the thought of it. And also I think one of the things that happens is that there's such an addiction to sugar these days that you go and you look and go, well, if you would give up the junk food and give up the soda, the juices and things like that, then you've got this disposable income that you can spend towards, you know, healthier food and even healthier nutrition. And I still believe, and I'll tell people this, I believe everybody can be better.
Right.
I believe everybody can be better, feel better. And it doesn't, not everybody can have the Christmas wish list of, you know, a chef and all these other things, but small changes will make a difference.
Right.
You just have to be willing to do it.
Yeah. It is amazing, right, that people don't understand or appreciate yet fully, like, the power of fruits and vegetables, or the power of whole food nutrition, that probably more important than the classic vitamin mineral thing that seems to be the only thing we know about nutrition, or calories, how much fat and protein, and then am I getting, you know, multivitamins or not? Well, what about phytonutrients and other whole food concepts that go way beyond that?
When you guys go in and you do the research, you can't even get to all the phytonutrients.
Yeah.
Like, we're looking at, you know, a carrot root or a beetroot or Spanish black radish, all these different phytonutrients and all the activity that they have. So it is like, if you will eat better, my job just became a whole lot easier.
Yeah, right.
But if you don't
want
to eat it, you know,
right,
I'll take care of it in other ways.
Yeah. So anyway, any other interesting habits that you're seeing in the Midwest that as practitioners we need to be aware of and try to fix? Or?
For me, one, being a mom and having a lot of women in my practice, I think one of the things I strive really hard for is kind of coming back into that simple education, right, giving my patients some easier tools to take home, because I one of the things that I'm so passionate about is really our children.
Yeah.
And if the mom and the dad make a change at home, you change that child's life forever.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're not coming to me when they're in their 30s and 40s and maybe older and a complete mess.
Right, right.
So I do think that it is a little bit of a challenge, because you gotta help these stressed out parents, and sometimes they don't have the biggest income, but you've got to give them very tangible ways, whether it's offering good nutrition, good fish oil, things like that, but also things that they can do at home that will help change that whole family.
Yeah, the insight that you just shared is really powerful, right? It's kind of like determining your health trajectory. You know, and it starts at a lot earlier than any of us think. And the nice thing about it is the sooner you get on it, the better your trajectory angle is going to be. And so it can always be course corrected, which is kind of the good news, but you can't wait until it's a little too late.
Well, you know, it's funny because sometimes I grew up youngest of nine.
Was any food left on the table?
No,
for you?
No, yeah. We weren't a family of overeaters, because there wasn't enough food to go around, jokingly. No, it was actually kind of true. We ate probably too fast. Right. But we always had a really big garden, and we never ate out. There was just no money to eat out. Like, once a year I got to eat out for my birthday.
Right.
And really, I can't think of like having like, I didn't have skin issues. I didn't really have any issues growing up. Well, I got into my 20s on my own, right?
Yeah.
Ditched all that, had a horrible diet, and in the process, my allergies got really severe, my skin got worse, my weight crept up, all these different, it was cumulative. But I still think that when I really discovered chiropractic and whole food nutrition and good detoxifications, all these different things, that is what turned me around.
Yeah.
But I needed all of it.
Right.
I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to get an adjustment. My allergies are going to go away.
It was just a start.
But I think because I had such a good beginning that it probably didn't take me as many years as it was to some people. So you can absolutely turn it around, but it's always better, right, to wait until it's not too late, so to speak.
Yeah, prevention is always the real challenge in healthcare today.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you
being
wait, when
proactive.
You, yeah, right. Yeah, proactive is really critical. So lifestyle, whole food nutrition.
Right.
Dietary practices.
You know, and
being
it's
active.
It's that whole body, you know, whether you're, you know, getting an adjustment, getting a massage, you know, doing acupuncture, but you have to bring it into the whole lifestyle.
Right.
And that's that vitalistic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's that vitality.
Right.
It's anti-aging at its best.
Right, right. So, you know, I think the simplest definition of vitality is basically enthusiasm and passion for healthcare. You have it as a practitioner, which must be contagious to your patients. And if they can get passionate and want to own their health to a greater degree, then the follow-through and the follow-up action's going to be successful.
Yeah, you just got to... Some are a little harder to love than others at times, but just loving them and wanting the best for them. And really, I do love what I do more than anything. I feel lucky every day, the jobs that I get to do, you know, and I think it does show. I think it does translate to our patients, and they also start believing. Sometimes I think the most powerful thing I do is just listen and understand, and some of them will go, you're the first doctor. And sometimes tears are coming down their eyes. But now they have a sense of hope.
Yeah.
And from that, you know, really, anything can change.
Yeah, yeah, great. Well, Dr. Annette Schiple, thanks very much for joining us at the Florida Chiropractic Association recording of Holistic Matters podcast, the podcast designed to help you become the you that nature intended. We certainly talked a lot about those issues that are natural and effective therapy. So thanks very much for your time. And thanks to our listeners for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Thanks.
This podcast features the song New Day by Lee Rosevere, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. If you liked this podcast, please share with your friends and family, and don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. We'll see you next time on Holistic Matters, where we are talking about how to be the you nature intended.